Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Wow, here we are after a really beautiful gathering over the weekend. And I'm very, very thankful to be a part of not only this fellowship, because it's the fellowship that we draw out of each other that is true. And as I draw it out of you, I get it for myself and it comes right back to you. That's how God works. It's the flowing of life. It's the principle of giving, constantly giving. And then the next bit of that principle is gushing. Give, gush, effect. So the giving is the giving of life to all men, to all things. There is only spirit. That's the reality. But we have not been able to see spiritually because it's been unknown to us. We've been perceiving through a material, physical sense of life, evaluating it, judging it, looking at it, dealing it out, getting it back. That is not the reality, and that's not why we're gathered. Yes, we come to understand what that is, and we see it for what it is, but we gather together to come to an understanding, an insight. I did find insight. It is apprehending the inner nature of things, of seeing intuitively, and that's the true nature of being. That is how we were created in the beginning, to, as the expression of the Son of God, having immediate knowledge and an immediate knowing coming to the mind unconsciously. And that is acquired by intuition. That is acquired through apprehending the inner nature of things and seeing intuitively. It's discernment. That is the original creation. And that is what we share together. We're not coming together on a physical plane, but we are knowing what that physical plane is. And as we know what that physical plane is, this unconscious immediate knowing begins to work from within you, giving you life, gushing as spirit, the action of life, which is the spirit of God. And then it has an effect in this world. The cause of all life is calling for a response, not only from creation, but from us, the Son of God. The cause of all life is calling for a response from the Son of God. I'm just going to reiterate a little bit of what we've been talking about, because to me, I hear it. It's the same thing, and it's all coming together. I was talking to you about Romans 8, verse 19, for the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the Son of God. That creation was subjected to vanity, and I tell you what, this world is vanity. Gee, just can't help but share what you are, can you? I had a generator moment. You know how Mike had a generator moment? I had a generator moment, and I just couldn't do anything about it. There was nothing I could. And do you know, nothing actually happened. It was all vain imaginations.
Wow.
It was all empty. It was imaginations. Nothing changed. And I was suffering in the midst of hell. And I really do think I came down to the bottom of that tank, that hell tank. And that's where you begin to realize I can of myself, I can do nothing. I can't change the suffering. I can't change that constant chatter and dialogue that goes with the vain imagination. Your mind automatically kicks in to a dialogue when these vain imaginations confront you. And you honestly can't do a thing about it. All you can do is just stand still and see the salvation of your God. You cannot help yourself. You can only shift what I'm seeing in the vain imagination to what I know in the issues of my heart to be true. So I had to literally shift the working that was tormenting my mind. It was tormenting me to that place where the issues of life, of reality, come out of your heart. Thank the Lord, I have been understanding for 23 years, and all that understanding came to my rescue. I was able to open the door of that escape and come into the kingdom of God, knowing that that is the reality, not this constant torment that we have in our mind. So I'll go back to, you see, over the last few days, what has been coming out is that there is a difference in the working in this physical plane, which is an act of the mind. We take information as an act of the mind according to the appearance, according to the beliefs that are handed to us, according to the opinions that others might influence us by. We take it as an act of the mind, and we operate in this world on that empty knowledge, the knowledge of good and evil. We're operating on empty. Vanity is operating on empty, taking the act of the mind to survive. Why? Because we lost that sense of intuition that is immediate knowledge coming to our mind naturally. That is how this give-gush effect works. It's that life-quickening spirit that comes to the mind as a knowing. And it comes naturally and unconsciously. And it is acquired. We acquire it as intuition. That is the working. That is how we hear. That is how we see the voice. It's not a phenomena. It's not anything that is happening outside of myself. It is the working of the principle of life, which is the life quickening spirit. It's working, it's flowing, it's serving, it's giving of itself into this very world that we think is our problem. And all creation for an earnest expectation. There is an earnest expectation in God of creation waiting for the revealing of the Son. That revealing is the uncovering, the uncover of the Son. The Son that I am, that all man is covered, is veiled. And that revealing is the unveiling. Same word, veil. Revealing is the unveiling or the uncovering of that son that I truly am. You see? So creation also was subjected to vanity. Man has been subjected to vanity because he came away from the image of God that works by intuition, came away from that, saying to himself and every one of us, you can't just say Adam. Adam is the son of man. Every one of us is the son of man. And we say to ourselves, I can make an image other than the image of God. I make for myself an image. And I judge according to that image. And you know what? It doesn't fulfill my needs. So I make a God according to the image that I've made other than the image of God. We have a image that we think is God. And every church, every group, every person has a different opinion, has a different doctrine, has a different belief, has a different interpretation. You know, interpretation. Everyone's got a different interpretation of what this God is. Why? Because it's made according to the image other than the image of God that I have formed for myself. And every man does it. Yeah. We can't just say, you know, it happened way back there, it's got nothing to do with me, my opinion about God is correct. We can't say that.
That's right.
We have to empty the glass and say, gee, you know, I am the son of Adam. Then I have to say to myself, I absolutely do not know anything. And I proved it for myself last night. You think you've got something. I've been talking twice, 2 days, and I feel confident. And then you think you know something. You know what? But then comes the truth. Because you see, why does the truth come? Because that is what I am. I am the truth. Pilate didn't understand because it was unknown to him. That's the way we are in this world. That is simply an illustration of the way man is in this world. And it's this world. It's not the reality of spiritual understanding. I'm just going to empty my cup a little bit. So, creation was subjected to the same vanity, the same vain imaginations. And you can't say you don't have them, because even when we think we're spiritual, they are the same vain imaginations. It's what? It's getting into space. Getting into that space. That's the reality, and that's where nothing happens. Yet, all energy of life flows from that place, that stillness, that place of being. So the reality is that, let's go back. Before the reality is, man changed. He was that creation and man was subjected to vanity. This became man's experience because he lost that immediate knowledge that comes unconsciously and naturally. That's the ordained in the beginning creation. That's how it works. It's not a something, it's a substance. And that's how it works. It's faith. It's knowing that I am that I am. So man changed from that entire sound mind that was in touch and complete to a petrified. It's the concordance said putrefied, which to me is apple going rotten, you know? But in actual fact, it's a petrified place. And we were subjected to vanity. What's petrified? To me, petrified is fear, of course. But it's paralysed. It's not being able to move out of the hell that I'm in. I'm stuck in that hell. So we were subjected to that petrified state. But in reality, creation was substance to hear intelligently. And I don't know if you know it, but the lemon tree does what it's ordained to do. It hears intelligently. It's only man that doesn't hear intelligently. Creation actually hears intelligently. But you see, creation is waiting for the sun to be uncovered so that they also will be free to hear intelligently. If you look at my lemon tree in my backyard, it just does not stop bearing fruit. There's probably about 2 or 3 weeks in the whole year that the fruit finishes and then the buds begin to form again. And here it comes again, abundant with lemons. To me, that is such a... When I go outside on the patio and I'm still... I look at my lemon tree. And there, it's considered the lily. It's the same thing. It hears intelligently. And it has that natural and unconscious flow of truth, of substance, flowing through the trunk. And every branch is filled with the glory that is coming through that trunk. It comes through every branch. It blossoms, and then it is effective in this world. It's the give, gush effect, and it brings forth lemons. So, creation was substance to hear intelligently, not without the power to choose. And this is where the Adam man, where every one of us has let ourselves down. We haven't let God down. God doesn't even know that we didn't choose rightly. God only sees you as the sun. He doesn't even need to uncover the sun to see the sun. God only knows the reality of being. Ye are my son, in whom I am well pleased. Despite the constant chatter in my mind, my heart tells me, you are my son, in whom I am well pleased. So I make the shift. It's not easy, because this tells me that it's real. This tells me that the vain imagination is true. But this tells me, you are my beloved son. I have given you all things pertaining to life and godliness. So what do? Do I choose rightly, or do I stay with this, thinking that it's the reality? I choose rightly. I make a shift. Not easily, I'm telling you. I cannot do it of myself. This torments me, and I'm paralyzed. I can only become aware of this and allow it, because it has chosen me. I haven't chosen it. It has chosen me, and it begins to come up higher. Come up with me. Come up and see. Come up to the mountain. Come and know that you are God. Ye are gods. Jesus said it. Ye are gods. Though I make my bed in hell, I am with you. You see? So, in the hope that we would choose rightly, creation itself also will be delivered from corruption into the glorious freedom of the children of God. At the moment, we are children of God. Why? Because there is a uncovering of that I truly am. So, to put it into words, Our true sense of being is simple. It's simple. It's having an immediate knowledge of thought God thinks toward you. Jeremiah. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, to give you an expectation of good. That expectation is the immediate knowledge of thought God think toward you, coming naturally and unconsciously, and it's acquired by intuition. That's the expectation. That's an in earnest expectation. Creation is eagerly waiting for that to become the function of the sun every moment of every day. So the true sense is formed in the mind naturally and unconsciously, acquired by intuition. Do you know, it isn't even knowledge that we think, it's a sense. It's a sense of belonging to the Father. It's that feeling of being the I that I am. This is just reiterating. For God is working all together for good. He foreknew and designed to the image of his Son. Man knowing this and loving this, he calls back to that design. Do you see that? That's the response. God is calling us back to that design in the beginning. And as we know this, and as we love, even Pilate, you know, he tried to avoid Jesus being killed. And to me, that was the first step in courage. And that's the beginning of wisdom. It's not of no avail. What happened to Pilate was the beginning of wisdom in his experience. So, and verse 30, see, that was verse 29. He foreknew and designed to the image of his Son, and man knowing this, and like, we now know this, we have been designed to the image of his Son. And knowing this and loving this, he calls us to that design. This morning I've been called to that design, not that vain imagination. Okay? So here we have it. He calls us back. So that's the journey of rediscovery. It's taking the covers off. It's uncovering that Son that I am. So now, this principle that I'm talking about here is that it's the word gratuitously. Gratuitously. It means freely given. And it says give, gush, and have effect. Give life. This is its principle. This is the nature of God. This is the unction of the Spirit of God, or the action of the Spirit of God. Give life everlasting. Everlasting life. I command it to you. Life everlasting. It's yours. Choose rightly. Do you know we can't even choose? We can only go where you went. Freely given. Give life gushing, which is the action of life. And that's what Adam man came away from. He came away from the action of life, which goes with life, so therefore he peters out into hell. Do you see? That's the way it works. Okay, to have effect. Give, gush, effect. It's gratuitously, it's graciously given. It's the divine influence on your heart. That's what grace is. The divine influence on your heart. Okay? So we are on a journey to reconsider. Discover means consider kindly. So don't be hard on yourself if we get vain imaginations and find ourselves at the bottom of the tank. you'll find that you're right where the door is. And as we make that shift from the mind to the heart, where it comes immediately, unconsciously and naturally, you know what? You can open the door and have access into the kingdom of God, where truth is your true nature. So, it's to see clearly and to hear intelligently. That is the discovery journey that we're on, to see clearly. Man found himself without cause, without purpose or use, with these vain things. He calls us back to the design, the image of his Son. Do you know that word cause is to call a response? And man found himself without cause. He found himself without the power to call for a response from himself and from anything else around him. He feels like he has no power, and he has no power, only what he's conjured up in his own mind through an act of his own mind. But it's not power. It's subject to change. We think it's power because we're so good at making things. You know, we think we have power. This little, what did you call it? Edging God out. This little ego, we edge God out. When you did say that, yes, I thought I heard that. Edge God out. This little ego, I've got power, you know. Move over, God. I can be like the Most High God. I've got power, and I've edged God out and become who I think I am. But I'm not that, what I think I am. Okay. So I just want to read this one last scripture. I've shown you the difference, okay? I've shown you the difference between the act of the mind, which is taking information, processing it according to the appearance, judging it, and basing my life on that. Edge God out, you know, put God over there. When I need you, I'll make you in my image, and then you can help me. Let's put it over here. So man found himself vain and without cause, pretending, prattling. You know, talk. That's the way we think we've got power. Talk. It's counterfeit. It's trying to invent a life that I call mine. It's death, it's hell, it's the grave. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, look, gaze as at something remarkable. Behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys. I have the wisdom. I have the keys of the knowledge of hell, death, and the grave. And you know what? That is what I'm edging out. No longer is it God being edged out. That humanity is being edged out. And that's why we come together, you know. We encourage each other. We help each other. We understand each other. We are of the same household, where we can lift each other and slap each other around and say, get out of that vain imagination, you know? So, God willed to make known, and it has been made known, the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, the expectation of good. I don't know what time I started. I forgot to look. Sorry.
How much?
We're at
40 minutes, so you've got another.
Okay. I just want to go to the
35 minutes.
Okay. I want to go to the woman at the well. I did. Do you know, if nothing else happens, this sequence has been really good for me. It's really helped me in quietness and in assurance, which is spiritual qualities. They're not human qualities. This woman at the well, it was interesting because, you know, I somehow, I can't remember exactly why I went to that scripture. There was just something or a word I was looking for. And I thought, oh, I like this. I like being in this. I wonder if I can get something out of it. I wonder if I could get a teaching that I can give, you know? Pat on the back, give a teaching, you know? And I persisted with it because nothing happened. It didn't really make sense to me, not in a deep and meaningful way, you know? I was looking for a deep and meaningful way. And I'd already understood that Pilate, the story of Pilate, was because of this physical plane. And he was stuck in this material sense, not knowing when insight, intuition was presented to him. He was oblivious. So I understood that, but I couldn't say that about the woman at the well, because she actually, I should open it. I won't open it because I just get very... she actually said... I'll come to it. So I was telling you the story about the woman at the well. One thing I understood is that it wasn't a parable, whereas Pilate to me was a bit of a parable. This wasn't a parable. This was something else, but I couldn't see it yet. I couldn't see what it was. And then I just began to see, as I was going through it and looking at it, I began to see that it was a mystical teaching. Mystical. Let me tell you what mystical is. It's having a spiritual meaning or reality that is neither apparent to the senses nor obvious to the intelligence. That's what mystical is. It is relating from an individual's direct communion with God. I'll do this again in a minute. An experience of inner light based on intuition and insight. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's mystical. That comes from an inner communion with God. And this is what Jesus was. He was that mystical inner communion with God that we hadn't seen in the world, especially at that time. We've had prophets down through the ages. God has spoken down through the ages in according to the prophets. Now the prophets, oh, I hate this when I do this. A prophet is that which is authentic. Okay? A prophet is bringing an authentic message. But it's not the communion. It's bringing the message, but it's not the communion. The mystical is the communion. It's relating from an individual's direct communion with God. An experience of inner light, which is the truth, based on intuition and insight. Now, insight, I just give you the meaning so that we can stay with the flow. Insight is apprehending the inner nature of things, not the outer nature. It's insight. So it's apprehending or getting understanding of the inner nature of things, of seeing intuitively. It's discernment. Have you ever said to yourself, oh yeah, I really like that. I feel that that's right. That's discernment based on intuition. Okay? So, mystical. This is what mystical is. And this is what I understood. You see, I could see that there's three steps in this woman at the well scenario. And the first step is where, like the woman who touched the hem of his garment, she had a need. She went to the hem. She touched the hem, or she touched the consciousness, and virtue went out of him. Nothing really that we can do of ourselves, virtue went out of him. And she was made whole. So through, I could see that what it is that we become aware that there's something better than this physical realm. And we begin to touch the hem of the garment simply by beginning to read this, simply by fellowshipping with a group of people that we can see have an understanding. And that's what they could see with Jesus, that there was an experience of inner light based on intuition. They didn't understand it, they just knew. And it is the mystical. And this whole story is the mystical. So we've gone from the physical, we've gone to the next step was to understand knowing and what that is, that knowledge, the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is you, which is gnosko and epigenosko, and then you come to understand and knowing euida, which I am. So this is simply laying hold of those things that be of God. It's reading, it's learning, it's fellowshipping, it's being increased in understanding. I had to sit with the Bible for many years before it began to generate of its own unction. It was something that I had to stay with, persist. Other people like Paul of Damascus, he was on his way to Damascus, got thrown off a horse, and all of a sudden he has that insight. That didn't happen for me. It took many and much ever learning, and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Don't think you're going to find it in that, because you won't. You won't find it in that. But it is a step. It lifts you out of this hell to a place where you begin to have hope. And hope becomes faith. And faith becomes truth. And I begin to be that knowing of truth that I am. So it's the first step. The second step is to realise the substance of our God is within us. So that Bible that tells me the kingdom of God is within you, and that Bible that tells me that the word of God is a light that lights up every man that comes into the world, that Bible that tells me that God commands to me everlasting life, I begin to turn my direction. Give attention, my son, give attention to my word. It's the catalyst that turns from ever learning, never coming to the knowledge of truth, to a generation where it begins, a generation of an unction that begins to work within you. It's the spirit of the quickening life. It's energy. It works all the time. It never sleeps. It never slumbers. It works all the time, giving life to all things. Okay, so let me just start. The illustration of the woman at the well, to me, was a mystery. And it kept its secret, even though I was trying to see what it meant. So now that I've read the meaning, this is what mystical means. I'll do it again because it's important. Having a spiritual meaning or reality that is neither apparent to the senses nor to your intelligence. It's not apparent. This mystical truth is not apparent to your senses nor your intelligence. Okay? It is a relating from an individual's direct communion with God. And now I can have that mystical.
Yeah.
I can now lay hold of that mystical communion with God. An experience of inner light based on intuition and insight, which is what we've been talking about for the last 3 days. So Jesus said, Jesus actually started the conversation with the woman at the well. He said, actually there's another step. He said, "Give me a drink," Jesus said. And she says, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" So there you've got all the prejudices, all the sense of separation, all the sense of division that we in this world still have today, and still comes up as an appearance and we judge it immediately. So she was mystified. "Why are you talking to me, you Jews who hate the Samaritans? Why are you talking?" And he started it. Jesus started it, saying, "Give me a drink." "If you knew," he said, "if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is speaking to you, that says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him. He would have given you living water." This is where I saw that it's mystical. Jesus is talking from a communion with the Father. She's relating water, physical water. And that's why it just wasn't the same as Pilate. It now was a mystical communion that he was sharing with her. He wasn't sharing the same thing with Pilate. This is his communion with the Father that he was sharing with this woman, this Samaritan woman. And where he says, "If you knew the gift of God, if you knew the give gush effect, if you knew the principle of the quickening spirit of life, the action of life, and who it is." Now that "who it is the gratuitously. Remember, I brought out that word gratuitously, which is the give, gush, effect principle. If you knew that gratuitously, he's saying, "I'm the same." If you knew that, "I'm the same as that." That's what he's saying. I know it's hard to apprehend, but he's actually talking in mystical terms. So don't reason it with our mind. Listen with our heart. He's saying to her, if you knew the gift of God, if you knew the way and the principle of life, "I'm the same as that." Talking here to you right now. "I'm the same as that. If you knew who it is that says to you, 'Give me a drink.'" So he purposely started the conversation with her. "Give me a drink." If you knew who it is that purposely is saying to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him. If you knew, you would have asked him. See, it was unknown to Pilate. But if you knew, he's gone one step further. If you knew, "Awaken, thou that sleep, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." If you knew, you would have asked him the same as that, the same as that principle of life, and he would have given you living water, would have given you intuition, that life manifestation of the Spirit. Manifestation. Manifest. Out here, so you can see it in this physical plane, you know? If you knew who I am, and that is the secret, that is where Jesus was coming from. If you knew who I am. And that's why there is a third step. The second step is to touch the hem of the garment, to have that light that is within every man be light in his experience. Light up in his experience. That's the second step. This is the third step. Okay, emptying the cup. So, and the third step is the mystical experience. It is the communion that I have. I can know so much, even have it action in my heart. I can know that guilt and fear and anger and trouble are all energy going to the bottom of the tank of hell. That is where those feelings are taking you. But courage and life and happy and good and peace and empathy, understanding, prosperity, life, harmony, order, that takes me to a higher, to see clearly. That is how this life works. We're based on flowing. That's how the unction works. Even if we're dead in this physical plane, it still is an energy that is working. That's why anger is better than guilt. Because anger makes you cross. That I feel so guilty, it begins to stir you. It's a higher energy level and brings you to a place where you may go from anger and frustration to pity or something else, you know, something higher. I've got it here. I've got it all in there, but I won't do that now. I'm going to do the mystical. The third step in this story of the woman at Samaria is the mystical. It's Jesus' experience as Son of God and communion in that Son that has been uncovered and revealing that he is the same as the principle of life tells me where he says, I have meat that you know not of. This is the third step in this story. I have meat within. This truth that we're talking about is about you and me. And it's about us living it, not just knowing it in our heart. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What you think about expands. So what I'm saying is that we can know that and still be angry and unkind and mean and none of us. But I find myself in a generator moment where I get angry and where I slam doors. I'm good at slamming doors. That speaks louder than words as far as I'm concerned. That tells the whole house. Not happy. It does. Especially our Dorothy. I'm actually talking here about a mystical experience. So this truth that I am. See, it's not according to the behaviour. And I know that to be true. So sometimes I let myself bang the door. And you know what? I can't do anything about it. I can't do anything about it except get on the other side of the door and say, ooh, I'm really sorry. I'm sorry I did that. And then I go out. And instead of being right, I try very hard to be kind.
There you go.
So this truth, you know, this truth, Jesus said, if you knew who it is that says, give me a drink, you would ask him and he would give you living water. If you knew who I am, he says, just going to go, she says to him, sir, see, she had respect for him. Sir, you have no bucket, nothing to draw that was... We're still in the reasoning, aren't we? We Even though she had respect, she knew that this was important. And she knew he knew everything about her. She had a feeling of oneness with him. And that's what we do with each other. We have an agreement with each other. We have a harmony with each other. We have a hearing ear with each other. So, sir, you have no bucket, nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? She was interested. Whereas Pilate, it was unknown. She was interested. You see, she had a generation of something happening to her. Not a generator, a generation, an action of something happening to her. And the secret is, if you knew who I am, that's the secret. If you knew who I am. Verse 11 says, you've got no bucket to let down. I just paraphrase the actual scriptures and I can give them to you. But I'll sum it up. Whoever drinks this water will thirst again. If you draw from the bucket, you'll thirst again. The water I give will become in him a fountain springing up to everlasting life. That is where the command of God is. Everlasting. He doesn't say, do this, do that, do the other. Go here today and don't go there tomorrow. He doesn't do that. He speaks as impressions, intuition, and that comes as immediate knowledge to your avenue of awareness, consciously and naturally. And that guides us, teaches us, helps us, allows us to flow this life-giving spirit to those around us. You see? And that becomes our experience. So, the water I will give you, the water I give will become in him a fountain springing of everlasting life. The command of God is from within. Everlasting life to my son. You are all my son. Embrace this son, not this world. Don't embrace this world, because if you look at embracing this world, you're going to get war and peace. You're going to get happy, unhappy. But embrace the Son that is in every man. That light lights up every man that comes into the world. Jesus said to her, you have five husbands and you worship what you do not know. See, I see that this is why he began that conversation with her, so that he could lift her to see more clearly. You worship something, but you worship what you do not know. I am bringing you to see clearly so that you don't worship that God that we've made in our own image that is supposed to supply us and fill every need, but that you worship that true God, that I am. I'm the same. I'm the same life. See clearly. You see? Same instruction to us today. So, this conversation was based on reason, but it has no reality. It has no response and it has no power, because in this world there is no response. Okay? Jesus gave her insight into the free gift of life. Jesus said, I am the same. So this is what this story is about. It's to bring about the revealing, the uncovering of the Son that I am. Not only as knowing it, but as my experience. Begin to forgive those that hurt you. 70 times 7 a day. Love your neighbour as yourself. Because that is the nature of God. Do I want to be right? Do I want to be kind? Let's give kindness. You don't have to give anything that you feel you can't give or don't want to give. Just give a smile. Give a mystical, intuitive awareness. You are the Son of the living God. Uncover that son. Father, uncover that son in him, that I may see that son. And then that son comes right back at me. This is the nature.
So good.
This is the truth. This is our own nature. But I must begin to live it as my experience. Even when the vain imaginations torment me, I cannot stop my mind. So I stand still and see the salvation of my God. Because I can't change it. I cannot change the torment that the accusation that it comes with, the fear. Here we go again, you know. That happened to me after I got well and came home from staying with Tony and Martha. The exact same pain was in my body. The exact same pain. And it was horrific pain. It made me cry a lot, the pain, when I had it, when I was sick. But when I came home and I knew that I was well, and not only did I know, but the x-rays showed that I was well, yet my body began the same pain all over again. It was a replica of exactly the same pain. And I was walking out the back door to do my little veggie garden.
Yeah.
You know, pick out the weeds and do that. And I felt, here we go again. Even though just that week, the x-rays had shown all clear. I was walking out the door and I felt my heart sink. Here we go again. And you know, that's the torment of the accuser. The accusations that come to our mind that torment us, you know. Anyway, I got out to my veggie garden. I remember it vividly like it was yesterday. And I started, because in that garden was my refuge for many months previously to that. In that garden was where I envisaged my life would commence again. So here I am in my garden and I said to myself, No. I'm not going there.
There you go.
I'm not going there. This was an act of my mind coming to me. I'm not going there. I'm waiting. I'm just waiting. I'm knowing the truth. I'm knowing the first step. Every single thing I learned in those 3 months, that's what I'm knowing. I stood on it. I held it and it became, do you know what? Within that same day, there was no pain. In that same day, there was no pain. Where did it go? And what was it? What was it?
It never was.
It never was. It wasn't the reality. It was a vain imagination that I was partaking of, really. That I noticed, and this is what we must get to, a place where we don't notice that torment coming at us anymore. It's always going to come through. Those imaginations are always going to come through because we're in this world and it operates according to the appearance. So it always will come through. But I must get to that place where I don't notice it anymore. Okay? So, you know, this Christ in you is the life that I am. This Christ in you is the kingdom of God. This Christ that is our life is what I am in reality. And over the ages, there is a thread of that Christ living spirit down through the ages. And you can see it in Abraham. Abraham called it friend. That was that experience of Melchizedek. He called it friend. And it was to him abundance. It was a life-giving spirit. It was a feast. He had a party. He had bubbles, you know. He called it friend. And like Abraham, we all come away from that first experience of realization and say to ourselves, what will you give me? Why? Because that God that we've made in our own image is so strong in our own image. Do you see? But it's the image that I've made according to my image other than the image of God. It's not the reality of God. What is God? Friend. I can't say to you what it is. I can say it's a friend. And to Moses, it was the I that I am. And I know in Moses, it was given to him as a memorial so that all men would remember.
Yeah.
A memorial. Remember. Yeah. The original creation. And that's an experience, a mystical experience that is mine, that is what I am. And that name was given to Moses as a memorial so that all men would remember their first experience of light in God. Sit with that for a little bit. Elijah called it the still small voice. I relate to that. These are the thread that's come over the ages that I relate to. It's a still small voice, that place, be still. Be space, to be in that space and watch the pain disappear. You see? It's that still small voice that doesn't say anything to me. It may speak, I don't know. In my experience, it's still. And when it's still, do you know that stillness in me sometimes becomes quite profound, that stillness. And I'm not looking for a voice anymore, I'm just aware of how still it is. And that to me is where the unction begins to flow. And I'm able to be kind instead of right, because I'm always right. My mother told me, I'm always right. Just like your father. I know all. Sorry, that wasn't meant to be in there. So, Elijah called it a still small voice. This quality in their experience was provision, was presence, and was the great reward. To Abraham, it was the great reward. To who? To Moses, it was the presence. Go tell them, I am that I am. And do you know, in words, you cannot get any closer than that. In words. They were the most profound words that we can use to get to the oneness, the presence that I am. They're actually quite holy when you begin to sense the I that I am. We use it flippantly now, but it's actually quite holy. You're standing on holy ground. How good is that, you know? So, and to Elijah, the still small voice, it was the cakes that were baked in the famine for him. You know, the angel, was it angels that baked the cake? Or I can't remember exactly the story, but I know that it was the cakes that were baked. And he was able then to go to the woman and the oil was never ending. Why? Because he was in communion with that I that I am. So this quality in their experience is the Christ. The Christ that we know as our life. Jesus called it Father. And I relate to that. I relate to that sense of Father. It makes God close. It makes it a sense of being present with me. John called it the Word. The Word made flesh. The word that has an unction within that word to bring itself about. Not flippant words that we use, because we use a lot of language. It's the word made flesh. It has within itself its own unction to bring itself about as provision, as life everlasting, as mercy, as truth, as forgiveness in my experience, as not getting offended in my experience, as being kind and not having to be right, banging doors. Paul called it the Christ in you, the hope of glory. And because he called it the Christ in you, the hope of glory, I could begin to take this mystical experience as communion for my own experience. The divine presence in you and in me. That's the mystical experience of the woman at the well. It's come from that physical plane to understanding the knowledge and the Ueda that is the knowing. It's not the knowledge of the tree of good and evil that we need to focus on, whether it's the good side or whether it's the bad. It's the knowing that I am that I am. Finish. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, thank you. So, break time, yes?
Yes. Have we loved Kathy or what?
Yes.
Thank you.
What a delight you are, Kathy. You're so fun, and you are so sincere and real. It's awesome.
Well,
we are really honored and privileged that you gave up your grandchildren, and your husband, and your daughter, and your son. Grace us with your presence, and that's what it's been.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
What can I say?
About 10 minutes or so, and we'll holler at you next time.
Oh, sorry, baby. Yeah.
No problem.
Sorry, guys. What do I have to do? Scott's got that little kid. Yeah.
Above the square thing.
Oh, you just all right. Square. Okay.
I don't know how to.
All you have to do is press that.
Thank you. I'm gonna